Okay, so this patient has mitral regurgitation post-myocardial infarction. This is a very high yield detail. I've talked about this in other questions. If you have a myocardial infarction, you're going to get ischemia to the papillary muscles or papillary muscles, and this can cause a rupture of those chordae tendinae, and we can have a holosystolic murmur, okay, post-MI. This is classic for mitral regurg. So, and this can lead to backup of hydrostatic pressure into the pulmonary vasculature with transudation to the alveolar spaces and pulmonary edema and shortness of breath. Okay, so any patient on the USMLE who has an MI and then anywhere between hours, or in this case, 30 minutes, so we could say 30 minutes to several days post MI, that's the classic frame time frame. If that patient gets acute onset shortness of breath and a holosystolic murmur, you know it's rupture of the papillary muscles, and this patient has an MR. Okay, so, and that once again explains why the oxygen sats are low. It's that we have fluid in the alveolar spaces. And the ST segment elevation, just consistent with a lateral MI. This would be the left circumflex artery. The question doesn't assess that anatomic detail, but I'm just pointing that out, that V4, V5, V6 sounds like left circumflex artery. And choice A, aortic dissection. Question would typically mention that you have a difference in blood pressure between the arms. Question need not say that, but I point that out as a relatively specific finding in aortic dissection questions. So you can get a difference in blood pressure between the arms. And most common cause of aortic dissection is hypertension. Okay, hypertension, cocaine use. A lot we can talk about. I'm just drilling the key points here. Choice B, aortic regurgitation, would be a holodiastolic murmur, decrescendo, classically seen in connective tissue disorders, can also be a result of a dissection. Causes volume overload on the heart, increased preload. Okay, you get bounding pulses, wide pulse pressure. Big difference between systole and diastole in terms of the pressures. So, cardiac tamponade, choice C. Question would give you Beck triad, which is number one, hypotension, number two, muffled heart sounds, number three, JVD, jugular venous distension. Classically, you get cardiac tamponade following injury, whether a stab wound to the chest. Can sometimes be left ventricular free wall rupture post MI, but we don't have a Beck triad in this question, do we? We can also see on ECG with cardiac tamponade electrical alternans because of fluid moving around the heart, and we can get pulsus paradoxus, also known as paradoxical pulse, which is a drop of greater than 10 millimeters of mercury of blood pressure of systolic blood pressure on inspiration. Okay, so that's just not our presentation here. And Dresler syndrome, that could be a distractor for people who are like, oh yeah, I've heard that before. That's a pericarditis, a fibrinous pericarditis that's antibody mediated and occurs 2 to 6 weeks post MI. Okay. You can get a post MI fibrinous pericarditis that occurs within the first few days. That's different from Dresler syndrome. There's two types of fibrinous pericarditis you can get post MI. Literally, the first one is called post MI fibrinous pericarditis, occurs within a few days. It's not antibody mediated. But Dresler syndrome is 2 to 6 weeks after the MI and will be antibody mediated. Very, very, very rarely any type of answer on the USMLE, but it's one of those syndromes that people have heard of and read about in various places. And then, of course, mitral regurgitation, which is our answer here. So, high yield point, easy question, but you got to have this one under your belt. That's it.